Okay, we are in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 10. We are going to start from verse 1.
Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?"
Samuel said to Saul, "Tell your servant to go a little bit further." And then Saul told his servant to go a little bit further. And then Samuel took him aside and he anointed him. And he's saying to him, "Don't you think that God has anointed you the captain of the inheritance of the children of Israel?" That means he's saying that I am anointing you and God has anointed you to lead the Israeli people. You can see the Saul story. He was frustrated. His father told him to go and find the donkeys. And he came. He didn't have even money in his pocket. His servant helped him. And Samuel already told him, 3 days ago, your donkeys were not found, but now they are found. You don't have to worry about anything now. You are the king of Israel. Let's read what the verse 2 says.
"When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find 2 men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, 'The asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, What shall I do for my son?'"
Now Samuel is telling him certain things, it will happen as he goes his way. And here he's saying, you will be passing the Rachel's tomb. And there you will meet 2 people. And they will tell you that the donkeys are found and your father is worrying about you. And I was thinking, why in the Rachel's tomb those people has to come and talk to him? If you remember, Rachel gave the birth to Benjamin and she gave the birth with the sorrow and she named him Benoni, but his father named him Benjamin, my right hand. So we can see God was trying to teach Saul, you are Benjamin and your mother, means forefather's mother, she died giving you birth and you are alive. But your father told him, you will be my right hand. And today, even the Benjamin tribes was the smallest one. They committed sin and many Benjamin people were killed. They didn't have even the wives. They had to find some wives. And this tribe was the smallest tribe in Israel. So they didn't have any chance. But Samuel is trying to tell him, go and see, the people will be meeting at the Rachel's tomb. Even though you are least, what God has done for you, be grateful. And then he says, your donkey will be found. They will tell you. Samuel already told him, but he wanted to let the Saul know what God showed to Samuel is true. And it happened. Let's read the verse 3.
"Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor. And there shall meet thee 3 men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying 3 kids, and another carrying 3 loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee 2 loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands."
Now here we see again. Now he said there will be 3 people meeting you. One will be carrying 3 kids. He's talking about the baby lambs. That's why he said kids. And then one person will be carrying 3 loaves of bread. And one person will be carrying the bottle of wine. Now the meaning is not given why these 3 people has to come and meet him. But we see that the man is carrying 3 little babies, means lambs, innocent lambs, Now, how he carried three, most of the time they can be walking, but these were not able to walk. They were very young kids. So he might be keeping one in his neck and two might be in his arms. So the picture, one up there, two up here, and the man is walking. Looks like a picture up cross. But anyhow, these lamps represent the blood of Jesus Christ. They will have three loaves of bread. Now, three people, three breads. But they said they will give you two and you should take it. And you will be taking it. Now, when they coming to meet the Samuel, they didn't have any bread. The man said, we don't have even bread. We don't have any money to give to Samuel. But now he's going back and now somebody's giving him fresh bread and he took it. Now, bread can be the word of God, and Jesus says, I am the bread of life. So now this man is getting bread, and he says, they will have the wine. I don't think they gave him wine, or they didn't say what happened to the wine, but they always go and to the worship. They will take the lamb or bulls, they will take some grains, and they will take wine. If you remember, Samuel's mother took three bulls and some grains, and she took the bottle of wine while she was going. So this is custom they're going to do and celebrate. After the sacrifice, they have their feast. But here we see there is the blood of the lamb, the bread, the word of God or Jesus Christ, and the wine represents the Holy Spirit. Now he says, you go then, these three people will meet, take the bread and go. And see what happens. After that, he will meeting some more people. Okay, let's read verse 5.
After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place, with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp, before them, and they shall prophesy.
Now he's going, and he says, you will meet some prophets, but while you're going through the Philistines. The Philistines had the camp. They have military camp. So you are passing the military camp. Now, I don't know why he was going that way, and why Samuel told him to go that way. When you see the Philistines, they are all warriors, and they are enemies to Israeli people. Now he has to pass the enemy, and they are not ordinary. They have the military camp there. But God is telling us, when you go through, you will have all the enemies all your ways. But you put your eyes on God. But God's blessing is coming, because he told him, when you go further, there are people, the prophets will meeting you. And they will be prophesying. So keep your eye on those people. Don't keep your eye on the enemy. So now Saul is passing by and he sees the people coming. And they are not coming empty-handed. They have all kinds of musical instruments. They are playing, they are singing, and they are praising God. And they are coming to meet the Saul. It sounds like a celebration, because Saul is just was anointed as a king, and now other people are coming and greeting him and playing the music for him. And not only that, Samuel said, what's going to happen when those people will be prophesying, the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God will come upon you and you will start prophesying. Saul never prophesied in his life. He was not the prophet's son, but this is unusual miracle was going to happen. Let's read the verse 6.
And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee.
Now here it says, when you go, and you will meet the prophet, and they will be prophesying, and all of a sudden you will start prophesying. And when the Spirit of God will come upon you, you prophesy, and let it happen like that. Because don't hold your mouth. Don't say, I'm not going to speak. Don't say, I'm not going to prophesy. you prophesy. And see what's happening. All other prophets, they're prophesying, and you are missed of the prophet. Now you start prophesying. The same way it happens. If you fill with the Holy Spirit, and the other person is not filled with the Holy Spirit, he's a born-again child of God, but when he's presence of the other people who are speaking in tongue and praising God, automatically God will touch him and he will be speaking in tongue. So this is what happens. Sometimes the fire kindles the fire. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and your presence will make other people feel the presence of God, and sometimes they will be filling with the Holy Spirit and start speaking in tongue. So exactly happened. But see, once this happens, the enemy is right there to discourage you. Here you feel with the power of God. Here you feel with the Spirit of God. You are rejoicing. You are praising God and you are glorifying God. And here the enemy comes and try to discourage you. Let's read a little bit further. Verse 8.
And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him beforetime saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, that the people said one to another, what is this that has come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?
See, when he starts prophesying and praising God and glorifying God, other people are saying, who is this guy? Is he a prophet? That means they wanted to discourage him not to prophesy, not to thank God, and not to glorify God. And the other man says, what is his father? That means, is his father prophet? So indirectly, those people were coming to discourage the Saul. But Samuel told him earlier, he said, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you're going to prophesy and keep on doing it what God told you to do. That means don't be shy, don't stop. Just do what God told you to do. And thank God, Saul was not discouraged. You remember when Jesus Christ was doing signs and wonders and with the God's power and authority, and somebody says, don't you think his father is Joseph, a carpenter? That means he's saying, he's not a prophet. He's not a servant of God. He's an ordinary man. The same way these people are saying, let's read the verse 12.
And one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets?
See, this says, who is his father? He's not a prophet. And then they made a proverb that Saul also is a prophet. When God blesses you, other people are jealous. They don't want you to be blessed. Enemy will come and tell you, you don't have that blessing. God didn't give you anything. And they will discourage you. Sambach, you know, the brother Sambach was a good preacher. And he said, somebody told me to come and give your heart to Jesus Christ. And I went forward and gave my heart to the Lord. And I was so happy. And when I'm going home, the devil is saying, you didn't get saved. So he said, I got discouraged. And next time I went to service, I did it again. And devil will say, you're not born again. So he said, I didn't know what was happening. But one day, he said, I filled with the Holy Spirit and I start speaking in tongue. Then devil said, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, he said, I understood. When I was not born again, he never told me you're not saved. When I didn't have the Holy Spirit, devil never told me you don't have the Holy Spirit. But when I got saved, he said, you're not saved. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, you don't have the Holy Spirit. So the devil always come to discourage you. This happened to me when I was filled with the Holy Spirit and I was happy and joyful and happily going. And here the enemy comes and says, you don't have the Holy Spirit. I was a little bit discouraged, but I went to the meeting and they were praying. And so I was a little bit late, so I kept my shoes out And slowly I went and sat there, and the man was praying, and his elbow touched my elbow. And in the prayer he said, somebody is touching me. That man is filled with the Holy Spirit, is a man of God. I never saw that man. He never saw me. I never met him before. And I start thanking God and praising God. After that, I didn't have any doubt. Enemy will come to discourage you. But don't pay attention to enemy. Do what God told you to do. And Samuel already told him, keep on doing what God told you to do and go forward. Verse 13.
And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. And Saul's uncle said unto him and to his servant, whither went ye? And he said, to seek the asses. And when we saw that they were nowhere, we came to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said unto you. And Saul said unto his uncle, he told us plainly that the asses were found. But of the matter of the kingdom whereof Samuel spake, he told him not.
Now see, here is the Saul's uncle. He's a very good warrior. And he thought, Samuel already told the children of Israel, go home and I'll find a king for you. And they went home. So when Saul went to see Samuel, his uncle got a doubt. Maybe Samuel said something to Saul, and maybe he did something. Maybe he's the future king. He guessed it. But he asked Saul, what happened? Where did you go? He said, well, our donkeys were lost. We could not find. So we went to Samuel, and he said, what Samuel said? Samuel said, you know, your donkeys are already found. That's the only answer he gave. He never said, Samuel anointed me, and I'm your king. He didn't say, because that man was his uncle, and he didn't want to say anything. And Samuel didn't tell him, say or not to say. But here, Saul used the wisdom. Samuel didn't tell the Israeli people yet, who is your king? So the Saul cannot tell his uncle, I'm already anointed king. So he kept quiet. So sometime you have to use God-given wisdom. Saul used the wisdom of God. Okay, verse 17.
And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered him out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all kingdoms, and of them that oppressed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And ye have said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands.
Samuel called everyone come to Mizpah. If you remember, when Samuel was in Mizpah and all these enemy came and tried to destroy them, and Samuel was sacrificing and he didn't pay attention and he kept on sacrificing, and the thunder came and the people were afraid. They started running for their life, and all these Israeli people defeated the enemy, Philistines' enemy. And so now this same place, he comes, gather all the Israeli people. Now this time Israeli people, they are not afraid of enemy, because enemy is already defeated. So all the people gather together, and then Samuel gave a small message or speech. He told them, you remember, you asked me the king, but you forgot that God brought you out of Egypt. He defeated all the enemies. All your trials and tribulations and problems, God took care of you. But at the same time, you were not satisfied with God, and you wanted a king. And you asked me the king. So now all the Israeli people, means their tribe, walk in front of me. Are God going to select one man as a king? So each and every, there are 12 tribes. Benjamin is the last, youngest or last tribe. So everyone walked in front of him, and nobody was selected. When the Benjamin tribe came, the Benjamin tribe was selected. And then they went to the Kish family, and the Kish family was selected. And from the Kish family, the Saul was selected. Okay, let's read verse 20.
And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the tribe of Matri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found.
Now, can you imagine? All the Israeli people came. Saul also came. Now, Saul knew that he's already anointed by Samuel, and he should be going courageously, but he's so scared. He's hiding. So they said, Saul was selected. Where is the Saul? Saul is not found. So they got scared. What happened? Somebody killed him. He disappeared. They start praying. Let's read verse 22.
Therefore they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff.
They asked Samuel, Let's pray. We don't know what happened to Saul. And so God told them where the Saul was. Do you know what the word of God is saying? Book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13. It says there is nothing hidden in the eyes of God. Everything open and naked to his eyes. People didn't know where the Saul was. They prayed, Lord, where is the Saul? Let us know. God says, I know where the Saul is. He's hiding in somewhere garage where all the stuff sit there, and he's hiding behind those boxes. So somebody ran there. Verse 23. Please read.
And they ran and fetched him thence, and when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward.
So the people ran there and brought him there. Maybe there was a stage or something, and they brought him there, and he stood there in front of other people. And when the other people were standing beside him, he was the tallest and handsome man from all other Israeli people. So he was the tallest, handsome in the Israeli people. So they liked him. And see what they're saying. Read the verse 24.
And Samuel said to all the people, See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king.
Then they start shouting, God save the king. And so they saw the king, and this is the God choice. God's chosen very handsome man, very tall man, and this is their first king. They asked for it, and God gave it to them, and they are very happy and very joyful that God given the king. Verse 25.
Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, How shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace.
Saul is anointed. Saul is declared as a king. People start shouting, Long live the king. But there are some people who did not like Saul, and they start saying, Who made him a king? Oh, we are not going to, what he's going to do, and they start saying negative things. There was a custom, when the king is selected, everybody will bring some gift to the king. These people didn't give any gift, but start saying negative about Saul. And Samuel said, Now I wrote a book, how king should run his kingdom, all the rules and regulations and everything. But the word of God says, Saul went away, and God has given some young man, chosen man, to be his army. So he was not alone. Saul got some army, young people, and he's going away. And then the other people accusing him, and he felt embarrassing. I was thinking in my mind, when Saul was declared as a king, And Samuel told him in front of all the people, this is your king. Saul supposed to go to Samuel and say, hey, you wrote a book, a manual, how to run the kingdom. Could you give it to me, or can I stay with you for a week or two, and can I learn something, the rules and regulation? Saul didn't care. He just went to his home, and even the some people said, hey, we are going to protect you. So the band of people, I don't know how many people, went with him to protect the king, just like a security guards or things like that. So he got the people with him, protection and everything, and he went to his own town. The chapter finishes here, and we are going to start 1 Samuel chapter 11.
Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee.
Now see what happened here. They were enemies, Amorites. Last time, when we learned in chapter 7, the Amorite says, oh, we don't want to fight with you, and we will be friendly with you. And then all the Philistines were destroyed. So these people say, don't destroy us. We are going to be with you, and don't bother us. So nobody bothered them. They were all right. But all of a sudden, when they saw Saul is a king, we are going to test what the Saul can do. So they came and camped around the Jabesh Gilead. They camped there and they start harassing these people. So what happened? The Jabesh Gilead is a small group of people, and they went and talked to this Amorites king. He said, hey, don't bother us, and we will be your servant. We will make a treaty with you. Whatever you want to do with us, we will be your friend. And so see what happens. Verse 2.
And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel.
Now see what happened. You going and asking enemy to help us. The enemy is not going to help you. The enemy said, okay, you want my help? You want to be friendly with us? Okay, we are going to do, take your right eye. Every Israeli people's right eye will take it out, and then you can be our slaves. And those people got scared. They don't know what to do. Said, okay, give us a 7 days or whatever, and we will go and tell our Israeli people. And if they don't help us, we will come back and then do whatever you want to do. So they were ready to give up and give their eyes. Now you have to know who these people are, Jabesh people. If you remember, when the priest and his wife, they were traveling and they came to Benjaminite's place, and those people spoiled his wife, concubines, and killed her. And then that man took the pieces of her body and sent it everywhere. And that's the time the people start coming and say, everybody has to go and fight with the Benjamin. But these Jabesh people didn't go. So finally, when the Israeli people fought with Benjamin and they didn't have any wives remaining, so they said, now we'll find out. If any tribe didn't come to fight with us, we'll go and fight with them and take their daughters. And that we already studied in book of Judges, chapter 21. You have to read from verse 8 to 17. So what happened, these people were defeated and took their daughters and gave it to the Benjaminites. So now Benjamin tribe was smallest tribe. Now I don't know if Saul came to know that these Jewish people, we got the daughters from them, and many of the Benjamin people got their daughters as a wife. And now these people are in trouble. But they did not come to Saul. They just sent the message to every Israeli people that what these Amorites people are going to do. They are going to take our eyes and we have to be their slave. So they start weeping and crying, and they didn't know what to do. Let's read the verse 3.
And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, Give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coasts of Israel. And then if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept.
When this news came to Saul, what happened? All these people are weeping. And where is the Saul? Saul is their king. And these people are supposed to go to Saul and tell, you're our king. Help us. The king didn't know anything. All other people are weeping. And see what happens to the Saul. Verse 5.
And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. And Saul said, What aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh.
Now see, last time, before he was anointed, he was in some mere garage or some stuff was there and he was hiding. Now, he's a king. Where he is? He is going and taking care of his father's animal. And he's tired and weary and he's coming. And he said, What's happening? Why people are crying? He didn't know. He's supposed to be thinking about the God's law, what the king's supposed to do. But instead of that, he's going and taking care of his father's sheep and father's animals. Father's supposed to tell him, Son, I told you to go and find the donkey. And I was worried about you, but thank God you came back and you are anointed king. Now you know how to serve me. Now you are the king of Israel. You should not be going and taking care of my animals. You're supposed to rule the people. But he's coming from the farm, tired and weary. The point I'm making here, when God has called you to do certain things, be busy doing the Lord's work. Don't go back and start doing the old chores. When you have a calling and God has called you, you went to Bible school, you study the world. Now you're not supposed to go back to the world and start doing the worldly thing. That's what Saul did. And then he found out, now I have to take the responsibility. See what happens. Let's read the verse 6.
And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coasts of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, Whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent.
When he heard that news, he got so angry. And then the Spirit of God came upon him. Somebody says, when you get angry, how the Spirit of God came? Because that was the holy anger, that the enemy coming to destroy my people. And what I'm doing, I'm going after the herds, I'm going after the animal, I want to lead my people, I want to fight for them. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And then what he did, he might be coming from the work, so he took two bulls, cut into pieces, and sent it to all Israeli people, and said to them, Listen, what I have done, I have cut into this all bulls and gave it to you. The reason why I'm doing this, if you don't come and defeat those enemy, I will come and destroy all your animals and cut them into pieces. I thought, where he got the idea? You remember in their own place when they committed crime, and then the priest sent the pieces to everybody and everybody came to fight. When he sent his wife's body pieces to everyone, everybody came to fight. The same way he did. He's not cutting any person, he's cutting his own animals and sending to the other people, and everybody came, say, we are going to come and fight. And see what happens. Verse 8.
And when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000 and the men of Judah 30,000.
Can you imagine? How many people? All Israeli people, 300,000. And he said, Judah, 30,000 people came. So now 330,000 people, warrior, are coming. And those enemy, they are not that big of army. But see how God inspired Saul to encourage all these Israeli people to come and fight with him, with the other people, and see what happens, how they defeated. Verse 9.
And they said unto the messengers that came, Thus shall you say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, Tomorrow by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. And the messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad.
Jabesh people came to know the Israeli people are coming to help us. And they told this enemy, give us 7 days. Within 7 days, the Israeli people, if they don't help us, then we'll come and take our eyes and do whatever you want to do. Here they got a news that they are going to come to help the Jabesh people. So some people went to this enemy and said, okay, we promise you, we'll come to you and do whatever you want to do. We are coming. We are coming tomorrow. But at the same time, the enemy thought, these people are coming willingly, and we are going to take their eyes and defeat them and things like that. Enemy were not ready. They were thinking, these people are surrendering their life, and so we will be ruling them. But here, see what happens. Let's read the verse 10.
Therefore the men of Jabesh said, Tomorrow we will come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the host in the morning watch, and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so the two of them were not left together.
See what happened? These people tricked them, Israeli people, say, okay, tomorrow we'll come and do whatever you want to do. They are talking to enemies. And the enemies were very glad that these people are coming. But they went early in the morning. They had the three bands of people. How many? 330,000 people made a three groups of people coming from three different places. And they attacked the enemy and they killed them and destroyed them. People start running for their life and says, not a two people were running together. What does it mean? They had no company. Everybody ran everywhere, and they were completely defeated. So here we see the enemy got a soft target. This Jabesh is a small group of people, and we are going to defeat them and see what the Saul is going to do. But see, these Jabesh people, they were defeated by Israel. They were thinking, Israeli people are not going to help us, so we are going to make a covenant with the enemy, and we will say, okay, do whatever you want to do, and we want to be with you a friendly way. But the enemy wanted to destroy these Israeli people. Don't make friendship with the enemy. They might be strong. They might be very rich. Don't make friendship. So here the word of God is saying, do not make friendship with your enemy. Those are your enemies. You go and make a friendship with them. They are not going to keep you alive or keep you quiet. They might be saying, oh, we'll make a friendship with you. We are not going to kill you. We just take your eyes, right eye. But thank God, Israeli people tried to help these Jabesh people, and all the enemy were defeated. Verse 12.
And the people said unto Samuel, Who is he that said, Shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death.
Now see, these people, I'm Israeli people, they defeated all the enemies, and they are fire for the Lord, and they heard, you remember? And one group of people said, Who is he? We're not going to give him a gift. We don't want him our king. So these people said to Samuel, show me those people who are against Saul. We are going to kill them. We are going to destroy them. We don't want those people to be enemy to our king. Because they were very happy with Saul, what Saul did. And when they start thinking, Saul is our king, he defeated all the people, and why this other group of people saying, we don't want Saul to be our king. We should kill them and destroy them. They're asking the Samuel. They didn't ask Saul. They asked the Samuel. Samuel didn't say anything, but see what Saul says. Read the verse 13.
And Saul said, there shall not a man be put to death this day, for today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel.
See, Saul using wisdom of God. He said, listen, today is the day of celebration. Today we got a victory over the enemy. Why we have to kill our own people? Even though those people were not good people, they were enemy to me, they said bad about us, but now maybe their heart changed. They saw how we defeated the enemy, so this is not the time to destroy our own people. See, the enemy will come to tell you, you know what? When you didn't have the job, you didn't have a good job, those your friends or enemies were attacking you and saying bad about you. Now you got a good job, now you got a government officer, now you might be mayor or maybe governor. You take care of those people, now harass them or put them in a jail or do something or kill them. That's the thing comes in your mind. But Saul says, no. This is the time to rejoice. This is the time to celebrate. God has given us a salvation or victory through to our all Israeli people. We should not be killing Israeli people. Have mercy on them. Let them go. I'm not going to destroy. I start thinking about Saul. He's a good man. He's a humble man. He's a God-fearing man. And he was very good in the beginning. But as you see further, we go further and further, his heart gets hardened, and now then he will be doing wrong thing. But now this chapter, Saul was very good, did not allow other people to destroy, and he said, this is not a good time. This is a good time to celebrate. Thank God what God has done. Don't make other people sad, and don't kill other people. Verse 14.
Then said Samuel to the people, come and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. And there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly.
See, now Samuel already told Saul. You have to read that in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 8. He said, go to Gilgal. And wait for me for 7 days, and I'll come and do the sacrifice. Now the Saul should be waiting for him, maybe go ahead of time and wait for him for the sacrifice. But what happened, he was busy going after his father's animal, and he was busy. But now when Samuel saw Saul defeated all these enemies, so now Samuel is saying, you know what? I already introduced Saul to these people as a king. But now I'm going to declare to all the people, this is your king. This is the king who defeated your enemies. And so he tells him, come to Gilgal. I already told you to go. But now he's telling all the people to come there. And he wants to announce that this is your king. And so all the people coming to Gilgal. Let's read the verse. I think it's finished, right?
Yeah.
Read one more time this verse 15.
And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. And there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly.
Now, they went to their Gilgal. He did the sacrifices. He anointed the king. And the word of God says, Saul, as well as all Israeli people, rejoice greatly. This was the time of celebration. Now you can see, first Samuel secretly anointed the king, Saul, and sent him home. Second time, he told the people, this is the king. And people said, long live the king. And then the third time, Samuel calls all the people and says, see this king? What great thing he did? You like this king? Let's anoint him. Let's declare to everybody, this is your king. So not a one time, but three times, he told other people, Saul, you are the king. God is reminding over and over and over, this is your job. This is your mission. Sometimes you forget God's calling. God sometimes reminds you, do not go astray. Stay in focus, do the Lord's work, and God will supply your needs. So here God is telling Saul, I have already anointed you secretly. Then I told you openly you are a king. Now you did something, that great things, and I want you to tell whole world that this is your king. See how great man he is. Now focus on God and do the Lord's work. That's what the Samuel telling him, focus on God. And so chapter finishes there. We are going to study the chapter 12 next week. Shall we rise? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to study the Word of God. Give us grace to understand your calling. Let us live for you and for your glory. There are people dying without God and without Christ. Give us grace to reach out to those people and bring those people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Be with us, sanctify us, and use us more and more for thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.